Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, all the fallout from the gaff incident after what was a happy and a sad weekend of football.
That was out of bounds!
I don't believe it! I see it, but I don't believe it!
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh! The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, Tuesday morning, which means it's time for the first edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. Glenn, I've just been hiding under a rock for a few days. Has anything happened?
No, we might make this a short podcast because there's not much to talk about.
Okay, well, we're brought to you by Tab Touch, of course. We've had an amazing Friday and Saturday of football, which we'll get to a bit later on, but the big event on Sunday, in the third quarter of the Western Derby, Andrew Gaff has made contact with his left fist with the jaw of Andrew Brayshaw. Andrew Brayshaw has a broken jaw, four displaced teeth. He had surgery on Sunday night. Andrew Gaff faces the tribunal later today. Quarters.
You know, the first thing I'll say is what a weekend. We saw the absolute best of what footy is on Friday and Saturday. Perhaps with the Port Adelaide goal, the Adelaide goal that hit the post,
yep,
taken out. We saw the absolute best of footy, and then we saw the absolute worst of footy on Sunday. So it was just such a divisive weekend. I found my emotions. I didn't know what to think at the end of that weekend. I guess I was just a bit flat after it all because, you know, I'll say this from the outset. I actually feel a bit sorry for Andrew Gaff in the point as the first thing I'll say is Andrew Brayshaw, terrific young player. I'm really disappointed he's not going to get the chance to be nominated for the Rising Star this year. You don't deserve to go out and play footy and that happened to you. So that's the first thing I'll say. And, you know, I don't think it will, and I hope it doesn't have any long-term effects for his career. I'm sure it won't. I also feel a little bit sorry for Gaff. Clearly done the wrong thing, clearly going to get his whack. I think that when I first saw it, I thought it was about probably four or five weeks. And then, obviously, when the news came through that there was a broken jaw, teeth displacement, wasn't going to take any further part, not only in the game, but in the rest of the season, I thought, well, this is going to go a bit further. Look, there has been a fair bit of hysteria in the aftermath. I don't want him to see. I think he showed great remorse after the game, Andrew Gaff. He was, and you could see he clearly was remorseful when he was on the bench. He was like, what have I done? What have I done? I don't want to see him. I think any calls for 12 weeks is nonsensical. I think that's just ridiculous. Does not deserve 12 weeks.
Do you reckon he deserves to get back on the field this year?
No, I don't. Now, in hindsight, now I don't. I'm not sure if that was my view at the start, but now that I've had a good 24, 48 hours to look at it and think about it, I think they'll give him probably 7. I just think they'll give him, correct me if I'm wrong, so 3 to go. If they drop back down the pecking order, the Eagles, they can still play 4 finals.
Correct.
So I think they'll do whatever they can to ensure he doesn't get out in the field again this year.
So that's
year.
7 weeks.
And I'm okay with that. I think that's a reasonable result. I think it's terms of punishment. All the calls for, I'll get this off my chest too, because it annoys me. You know, what a ridiculous call to bring to make it a criminal charge. I don't like, I just think some people grandstand over this, and there is an AFL judicial system in place. He will cop his whack, and not only will he cop his whack, but he's going to miss the final series and the potential to be a premiership player with the Eagles. We don't know whether he's going to be back as an Eagle or not. I suspect he actually will, but we don't know that. So I think the public humiliation, having his name splashed all over the TV and the papers for days on end, plus he gets his 6-7 weeks, doesn't play in the finals, chances of him being a premiership player out the window, that's a pretty big punishment to play. Deserves it, but I think leave it at that. And I think people just need to take a bit of a breath and now let the system play itself out, because that's what it's there for.
So to put the assault charge hysteria in context, sometimes the police will act unilaterally on an assault charge if there is grievous bodily harm involved. And we're actually, I believe the paper is getting further opinion on that, on what grievous bodily harm actually entails. But generally speaking, what you require is a complaint from the person who's been assaulted and or that person's family. My understanding is that the Brayshaw family would like this handled at the tribunal. The Brayshaw family, let's not forget, clearly in a very difficult position here. They've got a son at West Coast. They've got a son at Fremantle. They've had a son with concussion issues, and now they've got their youngest son in footy in the AFL dealing with mangled teeth and a broken jaw. So very difficult position. Not to mention the fact that Mark Brayshaw is the head of the AFL Coaches Association. I think he's still on the board at North Melbourne, was a player at North Melbourne, and of course North Melbourne is where people like Brady Rawlings and Adam Simpson, who are obviously senior people at West Coast, made their names as players. So very difficult position for the Brayshaw family. Look, I agree with most you said. I would just argue that this is a case of a good person and a good player doing a really bad thing.
He did. The push and shove, obviously try to hit him high in the chest.
Yeah.
I think there's no dispute about that. If he says that's what I tried to do, I give him the benefit of the doubt, given his character. But he hasn't hit him in the high in the chest. He's hit him in the face. There's a broken jaw. So he has to pay the penalty for that. That's just fact. Yep. They're the facts out there. Did he mean to hit him in the head? No. Was it an intentional punch? Yes, it was.
This is the problem, and I think this is one thing that a lot of people, particularly the Eagles fans, have got lost on. Basically, the way the tribunal looks at this is that if you intend to punch, it's intentional, and it's your responsibility as to where the punch lands. And the problem for Andrew Gaff is that the punch has landed flush on Andrew Brayshaw's jaw.
That's right.
So it's an intentional hit, and then the grading cuts to where has it hit him and how hard has it hit him. So the grading on this is as high as it gets. A few people are offended that this has been compared to Barry Hall on Brent Staker. The reality is this is the same grading.
Yeah, it is the same grading. I'm just not sure. I would suggest that Hall and Hall had priors.
Oh, look, yeah. No dispute. Like, Barry Hall punched 100 people.
Yeah.
Andrew Gaff has only ever punched one.
And he only ever will punch one. I would be pretty safe to bet on that one.
But this particular incident, Hall on Staker, Gaff on Brayshaw, same grading. So,
I don't think there's any doubt now he's going to get minimum 6, probably 7. Wouldn't surprise you if it was more, but please, these people calling out for 12 weeks, that's just pulling it out of the air. I think the statement's big enough. He's missing. Don't forget, this is not 6-7 weeks early in the season or mid-year. This is the final series. So it's a big, big penalty for him.
I think that I initially put my suspension at 6.
Yeah.
And I was being conservative.
Mine was lower.
But I think the par mark here is that Andrew Brayshaw does not play again this year. He would not play again this year if the Dockers had 6 weeks left in their season.
Yep.
So Andrew Gaff does not play again this year.
I've got a point on that. We'll bring up the red card in a moment, but I just wanted to get something else off my chest too, Duff. Look, I know that West Coast Eagles fans, when they were cheering Andrew Gaff at the end of this game, I think 90% of them, maybe higher, were doing so because they wanted to show their support to their player and that he may not play for the Eagles again if he leaves the club at the end of the year. My suspicion is that he will stay at the Eagles, but if he leaves, that's the last time he's played for the Eagles. But it's not a good look, Duff. I just don't think it was a good look to cheer a guy when he'd broken a guy's jaw. I just don't think it was a good look. And in hindsight, I think a lot of them would reconsider their actions.
I think there are four really bad looks in this for West Coast. One, that Gaff has done it in the first place.
Yep.
I have got the utmost respect for Gaff as a player, and I think he's incredibly remorseful. This is incredibly out of character. So that's the first one. The second one is the standing ovations he got. You know, I hope the Eagles fans that did it, when they look back in hindsight, having become more aware of what was actually going on out there, they think, oh, that's a bit off.
Yeah.
Some
of them have suggested too, on the media, I've heard a few of them in talkback radio, what have you, some of them have said in hindsight, I understand why it wasn't a great look.
The goal celebration by his teammates, until three-quarter time in particular, before Ross Lyon got to his players and managed to calm them down a little bit, Gaff was very much in the crosshairs of a few Fremantle players who had become aware of what had happened. A lot of Fremantle players that actually finished the game without being aware of what exactly had happened.
Can I ask, was there a good number of Fremantle players who actually shook Gaff's hand after the game?
Michael Walters actually hugged him.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I mean, people need to take a leaf out of that book a bit, I think.
Yeah.
But it's a good segue into my next point, Duff. A lot of this would not happen if there was a red card system in place.
Just a couple, we'll get to that. Yep. Just a couple more bad looks. I think the over-the-top goal celebration by his teammates, again, in hindsight, it's a shocking look. You know, they celebrated like he just kicked him into a grand final or just kicked his goal in AFL football.
Yep.
Neither of those things were the case. It was, I know they were trying to show support for their teammate, but I think you can do that without what looks like the glorification of a king hit. The corporates adjacent to the coach's press conference room started booing when Ross Lyon started taking questions on this. Now, clearly Ross Lyon was an angry coach at that press conference, and Ross Lyon has every right to be an angry coach at that press conference. He has an 18-year-old boy at that situation who had gone to hospital and was facing surgery for a broken jaw and mangled teeth. He has absolutely every right to be angry. He got his distances wrong. He called it 100 metres off the ball. It was 30 metres off the ball.
Yep.
But 30 metres, 100 metres, it's off the ball. So he wasn't happy.
That's the point where the Eagles are saying, if you're going to make the comment, make sure you're accurate.
If you can't keep the corporates under control, you get them away from that area.
Yep.
Because
yep.
that is a working environment. It's a working environment for us in the media. It's a working environment for the coaches and some of the staff members in their media teams that actually go to and from those rooms with them. If you've got a bunch of drunks in that area booing and catcalling, and it only takes one of them to walk 5 metres and have an interaction with one of those people.
We've seen that in Melbourne a lot. I've seen it happen quite a bit in Melbourne this year.
I would fear for anyone who had interacted with Ross at that point.
So, Duff, there's still going to be a bit of residue anger regardless. But if it's a red card situation and he's forced from that field, the potential, it bubbled over for a quarter and a half, as we saw. That's not there. He doesn't get to celebrate the goal.
So I reckon, quarters, you've got two really valid points on your send-off rule.
Yep.
So there's the issue of fairness and there's the issue of player safety.
There is the issue of fairness in that why should Fremantle be arguably their best player at the time down and the Eagles not be arguably their best player at the time down. They should be. If that happened in the grand final, we always use that as a reference point, but it's a good reference point. It was a derby, so it wasn't insignificant either. I think it's in extreme circumstances, and it doesn't worry me, Duff. If play continues, if Andrew Brayshaw's obviously assisted from the field, play continues while they look at all the available video evidence. When they do, there's a message sent to the umpire, it crosses his arms, that's a red card situation. I just think we're at that point now where we're in extreme cases.
Yeah.
And it's for Andrew Gaff's safety too, to be quite frank, because he was stoic enough to go back onto the field, and I understand why he did. Because it doesn't look good if you're hiding on the bench. What I mean? He needed to be out there, and as he would. But that possibility is removed if there's a red card situation, and I think we're at the point. Gil McLachlan yesterday suggested he didn't like it because there'd been a number of instances in amateur football where he'd been involved in where it was a bit grey. But Gil, you of all people should know, there's not 35 cameras at amateur games of football.
That's
so
right.
I think that at the AFL, there's plenty of vision there available. And I think if they, you wouldn't need too long to just determine that one at the weekend anyway.
I think exactly. If you institute a process where a player goes down and he's taken out of the game and the umpires call for a video review of the incident, and then if that video review comes back in 5 minutes' time after they've considered all the angles and said that is a red card offence, then they go over to the player concerned, they hold up a red card.
And off he goes. And they're one down for the remainder of the game. You know.
And then they show the footage on the screen.
Mm-hmm. To show why it's
so
been...
So that the crowd at the game understands
once,
why
because
it's happened.
I just think angry people got angrier and angrier with each bump, with each, you know. And I was really concerned, Duff. When I was thinking about it, I was at home watching it on TV the weekend, but I was concerned about the supporters going off to the pub after the game.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to go off at the Camfield. I'm pretty sure it was okay. The crowd was pretty well behaved, so well done. to all the supporters, but I was concerned about that because that's what can happen. It was allowed. Angry people were allowed to get angrier.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think the other thing, and I send this message to West Coast, and I did in my comment piece today, Andrew Gaff, in the rooms after the game, put his hand up, said, I did the wrong thing. I feel for Andrew Brayshaw. I think it took the club the best part of 24 hours to get to that point where their messaging was clear enough on that.
So you're saying stronger language, which I don't disagree with.
Unequivocal language.
Yeah, so Gaff was unequivocal. I think, you know, that stronger language as in we don't stand for that as a footy club.
Yep.
And we know that Andrew Gaff's a great character. It's out of character, but it's not what we represent. And then, you know, obviously, they had Andrew Brayshaw's health. That was front of mind. So that's okay. That's a tick. But you're right. There needed to be really, really strong language earlier.
And it's not the first time that West Coast has been too slow to get to the point where they realise this, we're in the wrong here. You know, or one of ours is in the wrong here. So we need to address this quickly. We need the strong messaging out there that we hold ourselves accountable and we hold ourselves to high standards. The reality is West Coast is not a team of thugs.
Mate, they're second on the ladder and they've done it by playing exquisite football.
And the reality is that West Coast and Andrew Gaff is not a thug.
And Adam Simpson's not a thug, and he's a good, wholesome person, and he's not going to produce a team that perpetuates those sorts of acts.
Twice Adam Simpson in the last few weeks has had messy messaging,
yeah,
which I think has made people angry, and I think that he minced his words in the press conference after Sunday,
yeah,
and I think he went on SEN radio after the Nick Natanui airport fiasco, and he basically made the two cameramen that had been manhandled by Peter Staples, yep, at the airport, who felt that Peter Staples had done the wrong thing by them anyway and felt that they had done nothing wrong, were just doing their jobs at a respectful distance from Nick, he made them even angrier.
Yep, yep.
And
I won't dispute that.
You know, it's West Coast would have, I reckon, I'm tipping conservatively $500,000 media department. I'm tipping that media department can come up with a strong message for Adam Simpson to put as a senior official of the club at his post-match press conference.
But they got it half right because they did get Gaff out there. That needed to be managed and it was. But yep, you're right, they got it half right.
And I think Trevor Nisbet, I've got no doubt that Trevor Nisbet started his press conference yesterday with the best of intentions. And there was clearly apologies to Gaff, concern for the Gaff family.
For the Brayshaw family.
Because there's Andrews here.
Yeah.
I'm getting confused all the time. Yep. Apologies to Brayshaw. Apologies to the Brayshaw family. Concern expressed for the Brayshaw family, and then support expressed for Gaff, who clearly West Coast rate very highly and hold in very high regard. But then Trevor got messed up by the questions on the assault. You know, that's just a straight bat answer to that one. You know, assault charges are a matter for the police,
yep,
and the Brayshaw family. And then got sucked into criticising Ross Lyon. Now, Ross Lyon was angry and emotional after the game. He has a right to be.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, a West Coast player has put a Fremantle player in hospital. And Trevor should have been big enough to acknowledge that and just move on. And this silly bickering that goes on between the two clubs, particularly around derby time, it does not serve either of them well. And you know the funny part about this is, Quarters, the people who will move on from this the quickest will be the players.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a story
about... Well, they clearly did post-game. Because, Michael Walters, and there was some shaking of hands, which is good to see. And, you know,
Hayden Ballantyne shook Andrew Gaff's hand.
Yep.
If Hayden Ballantyne
can
shake Andrew Gaff's hand, then I think the clubs can get together, talk about a sensible outcome, and talk about sensible messaging for the fans. But what we get is this... and Trevor was silly to put the strained relationship out there, because if the relationship is strained, it's strained because a West Coast player has put a Fremantle player in hospital. Don't try and put that back on Fremantle. Don't. You might win it by dint of popularity, which is, I think, is another mistake West Coast often make. They often confuse being popular with being right. But, you know, it's not a good look. Not a good look.
So we now await the tribunal to do its thing, and I think that's where it needs to be. Yep. We should
mention, where it needs to end.
Yeah, that's right. We should mention in all the controversy. Elliot Yeo winning the first Glendenning Allan Medal. Congratulations to him. And what a nice little moment amid all the hysteria was Michael Walters' bid for Mark of the Year. And I love that little bit of byplay with
between him and McGovern.
McGovern. And I'd love to know what McGovern said to him. I'm not sure if it's come out yet.
It's probably like, you got me.
Oh, no. It's a good mark. Something along those lines. So, you know, that's what we want to see. You know,
I think
not king hits.
Quarters, to take you back to the Demolition Derby and the tribunal hearing that followed that, and obviously Dale Kickett gets 9 weeks
yep.
at that tribunal hearing. And I don't you would remember Bert Gordian, the very colourful player advocate that used to represent players.
Oh, yeah, I remember him, yeah.
So he's gone in there before the start of the hearing, and he's made this emotive speech about how this was going to be an ugly, angry tribunal hearing, that these clubs didn't like each other, that there was going to be sordid accusations thrown back and forth. We walked out of there while the tribunal got organised, and the players were out in the waiting room laughing and joking. Sean McManus and Ben Cousins were sitting next to each other. They were up there on melee charges. Mm. They were laughing and having a gag. Now, clearly, Dale Kickett paid a high price for that.
Yeah.
Phil Reed also, I think, got a suspension. But the players move on, and the club administrators need to be aware of that, that the players will move on quickly. As the leaders of their clubs, they need to move on quickly.
Well, West Coast needs to move on because they're second on the ladder. I actually think that Gaff's certain suspension costs them now. I'm not sure whether they can go all the way with him missing from that side, as well as Nat Nui. Josh Kennedy on, you know, we're not sure how his health is. So I have real concerns now about the Eagles going all the way. Whereas a week ago, I thought they were every chance.
Yeah.
So let's
talk about Super Saturday.
Super Saturday. So including Friday night, 5 games by determine that under a kick,
amazing.
Which is a record.
Yeah.
VFL, AFL, never happened. And then on Sunday, what was it? A combined losing aggregate of 250 points or something. So it was
and
a shocker.
Obviously, the low point is the gaff hit on Brayshaw, but a close second.
Oh yeah,
it's 16-18.
Yep.
So GWS get down to 18 fit players against Carlton.
Yep.
They start sending 2 off for rubdowns.
Yep.
So it's 16-18,
yep.
And they still kick 7-1 in the last quarter.
Yeah.
Carlton quarters, that may represent the lowest ebb in Carlton's history.
The sad thing is, I guess we're saying this every week though. It seems to be week after week we're saying this is the lowest ebb. Well, please tell me when we get to it. And then obviously we had Gold Coast v Melbourne. But just a lot to like about the weekend. Geelong tried to manufacture a game plan to beat Richmond. Richmond were a bit off the boil on Friday night. I'm not sure. People are looking at it as in Geelong got within 3 points. I'm looking at it as if Richmond was well off the boil and still won by 3 points. But it was really fascinating to see Geelong going down the corridor and trying to disrupt that. We know Richmond swarms to a contest and they have players running forward. That's the way that they go about it. But really interesting to see whether you wouldn't want to do execute it for 4 quarters, but it'll certainly be used at times against Richmond now.
I think it's what West Coast use at Optus Stadium earlier in the year. And it's the same antidote to pressure that Hawthorn used to employ. You know, try and spread the pressure as wide as you can. Different methodology, but the same principle. Try and spread the pressure as wide as you can.
So I did that was Richmond Geelong. I did the reverse. I executed the reverse mock beautifully on Hawthorn.
You did.
To get them up over the line.
Well
I'll
done.
See if
well
I can
played.
Do the same against Geelong this week. But and I guess what came out of that for me, a couple of things. One was Ben Stratton's complete return to form. He's one of my favourite Hawthorn players. I just think he's so underrated. And it's taken a while to find his feet again. He missed a fair slice of footy. And he is one of those great players. 9-10 intercept marks at the weekend. And Burgoyne finding some form after injury and announcing he's playing on again for another year and leaving the door open for 2 more years. I'm not sure about that.
Well, while he's playing like he's playing.
Yeah.
Really.
And, of course, we saw North Melbourne defeat Brisbane by 3 points and the agony play out for young Cameron Rayner and his coach Chris Fagan hugging him. These are all scenes from within 24 hours. And you're just saying, you're just walking away. I was working on the Sunday Times and, you know, you just had so much to work with. It was beautiful to watch.
The around-the-corner kick. So Rayner's kick to win for Brisbane against North Melbourne, and Ollie Wines' kick, which would have put Port Adelaide, I reckon, probably too far in front for Adelaide to catch them. What do you think?
Well, I would back those two to slot those round the corner kicks. So, you know, nine times out of ten, they pull them off. They just didn't on this occasion. I'm not sure if it was the wrong play. It just didn't come off. I mean, you would you agree you would back them nine times out of ten?
I reckon that's a drop punt.
Yeah.
I reckon in that circumstance.
10 years ago, yes.
That's a drop punt.
But that's what they're practicing now.
I know they practice it, but I just wonder if they put as much time into practicing a drop punt as they put into that. I wonder whether they would be more likely to kick the drop punt. And I think this is where I reckon clubs have dropped their standards in terms of, you know, they demand that players stick tackles. They demand that they run defensively. They demand all these things for them. And then they're shooting at goal where there's a difference between 6 points and 1 point. Oh, no, just do what you do. Do whatever you like. Do whatever you feel comfortable with. Yeah. It's bull dust.
What's lost in the analysis of that, and it was a great finish to that game, but is Zeeble's performance, three goals, really stood up as a leader, probably his best game for the year for them. But it was also, North got away three or four times by margins of 18, 25 points, and they kept reeling him in Brisbane. So to get into the position where they could almost won it at the death, I thought it was terrific from Brisbane, and they're going they are going to go places. We haven't even mentioned Sydney Collingwood yet.
So Tommy McCartan's goal.
But it's also Buddy's effort. Six goals, but got on the training track for five minutes, I'm told, during the week, and there was a big cheer from his teammates. Goes out there, kicks six. But Tommy McCartan's goal, for me, goal of the year.
We know he kicked six during the game. Did he kick six in 5 minutes at training, perhaps, as a rehearsal?
I think he might have, yeah. He probably could. But McCartan, that's goal of the year for mine. Just the way, the outcome, what it meant, and the execution from tight in tight. It was a brilliant goal.
And I think in that game, Quarters, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention how brave Collingwood have been.
Oh.
Because they keep losing players.
Darcy Moore. If he doesn't do his hamstring, they'll win that game.
Yeah.
So I just think they have been brave, but I think we're now seeing, we've been talking about it for a month now, but its tipping point now surely is upon them.
You'd think so. They've got to get someone back.
Well, like, you've got to get something going the other way. He's just putting his hand up saying, I'm talking to my surgeons. There's a chance I'll come back in a few weeks' time, you know.
A few weeks' time might be too late.
But it's also good to have a bit of optimism around the place. I think that's as much to do with it as anything.
Okay, before we go.
Yep.
The Josh Jenkins snapshot that decided the showdown.
Well, Ken Hinckley was right. The AFL should be embarrassed by that. That's probably cost Port top four. And I can understand. Imagine, I'd be filthy if I was a Port supporter. Absolutely filthy. It's a point. It hit the post. They win. Oh, that's one of the most extraordinary things I've seen, is that the lack of attention to the video evidence. I just don't. And the other thing about that, Duff, is I'm told that it's not uniform. The goal system, the camera system use around goals is
not. No, it's not. It's anything but. Exactly.
So it's where the Fox or Seven. The thing is, surely the AFL, I don't know who's going to fund it. And there's dispute over who funds it, whether it's the broadcaster or whether it's the AFL. Mm. AFL should just step in and fund it. And I'm told it's six figures to do it, right? Just do it. Just get it right. It's got to be uniform. And we've got to get this right. Forget about the stuff out in the 50 metres out. Goal line technology has to improve. That should not cost Port a top four spot, and it probably has.
So the amazing thing about that one was, I reckon, the best angle was the first angle in real time.
Yeah, it was.
Because in real time, you can actually see the change in the trajectory of the ball.
Yeah, it spins off in a different direction. Yeah, yeah, definitely hit the post.
And unfortunately, the goal umpire, I think, should have been in a position to pick it up. He hasn't picked it up. He's given it a goal, and then as a result of that, the result of the game changed.
And credit to Josh Jenkins for his honesty too. I love that line.
It was fantastic.
My grandma told me not to fib, so I'm not going to. I think it hit the post. Yeah. I love that. And, you know, I'd be the same. I'm not fessing up.
Yeah.
You know, as Mike Hussey always says, you know, I've been given out plenty of times when I'm not. So I'm not going to walk.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know whether batsmen get given out that many times when they're not.
Oh, I don't know.
With the DRS now.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, it was Quarters. I reckon there's a case to argue the two showdowns amongst the best five games of the season.
Yeah, I would say that's fair. Yep. Yeah. Oh, you could almost just go to this round and pull three of them out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd agree with that. It'd been crackerjack games, both of them.
absolutely crackerjack games. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning. We'll be back on Thursday. We'll have the wash-up from the Andrew Gaff Tribunal, assuming that it's finished then. Obviously, there's always the chance of an appeal to try and get a lighter sentence or something along those lines. There may be even a chance of an appeal from the AFL to get a heavier sentence if they believe the sentence handed down is manifestly inadequate. So we'll be back to talk about that. We'll be back to talk about another great round of fixtures, which will have severe implications for the top four and the top eight. And we hope to join you then, and we'll be brought to you by Tab Touch again. Thank you, Glenn.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.